I recently heard a preacher make this claim. He said that a person can live for about 4 weeks without food. He can live for about 4 days without water. He can live for about 4 minutes without air. But without hope, a person can only live for 4 seconds. 4 seconds without hope. In other words, if we have nothing to look forward to, if we believe that everything about the future will be worse than the present, we die. Can't face that. This idea of the necessity of hope can help us reflect on today's gospel, which is one of the difficult passages in the Bible. Jesus says here that there are two categories of people. There are the blessed, the blessed, and the cursed. Well, that's not very surprising because there are many passages in the Bible that say that. Today's reading from the prophet Jeremiah and today's Psalm, Psalm number 1, they both speak of the same two categories, the blessed and the cursed. However, the Old Testament passages speak of the blessed as those who trust in God, and the cursed or the wicked are those who do not. But Jesus speaks of these two categories in very contradictory ways. He seems to teach exactly the opposite of what we normally think. Who are the blessed? Jesus gives four examples: the poor, the hungry, the weeping, and the hated or the excluded. And that doesn't sound like much of a blessing to us. Who wants that? Who are the cursed? Again, he gives four examples: the rich, the filled, the well-fed, the laughing, and the popular. And we say, well, what's so bad about that? We can imagine welcoming such curses. Do our enemies, when they're really angry at us, do they say, may you be rich and well-fed forever? No. Doesn't seem like a curse at all. So what are we to make of this strange talk of Jesus? Well, one observation that might come to mind easily is that this description of the blessed and the cursed may be received very differently depending on our present situation. If we are rich and well-fed, we will not like this gospel, because it seems to be condemning us for no reason. And what's wrong with having enough to eat? But if we are poor or hungry or weeping or rejected, we will welcome this gospel. Why? Because it gives us hope. We will not be in this condition forever. We may be hungry now, but we will be satisfied, Jesus says. We may be weeping now, but we will laugh. So if we're weeping now, and many people are weeping, we will laugh. And that's good news. That's a relief. That gives us hope. Remember what I said a moment ago. A person can live for 4 days without water, but only 4 seconds without hope. Hope is confidence that things will get better. And the greatest hope is that things will get better and stay better forever. Which means the greatest hope has to extend beyond this world. Life in this world is a pilgrimage through what is often a valley of tears. Like it or not, that's the way it is. There are good days and bad days, but there are lots of difficult days. Life in the next world, if we live according to God's plan, if we if we put our trust in Him, is unending joy, unending peace, unending laughter. Jesus' description of the blessed certainly applies to eternity. He calls it heaven. This is what He says. Rejoice and leap for joy on that day. Behold, your reward will be great in heaven. So if we know we have a reward that will be great in heaven, we can leap for joy today. That's what Jesus says. And I think we would all agree that those who are in heaven forever are blessed, the blessed, and those who are in hell forever are cursed. I think everybody knows that. So this gospel is not simply saying that it's good to be poor and hungry and weeping, and that it's bad to be rich and well-fed and laughing. That's too simplistic a reading of Jesus' words. After all, He spent a lot of time in His public ministry bringing good news to the poor, feeding the hungry, and consoling the sorrowing. Why would He do all that if they're already blessed? When the Lord Jesus was faced with a large crowd out there in the wilderness and they had no food, He did not simply say to them, "Blessed are you who are now hungry," as if that were a good thing. No, He fed them. He fed them with 5 loaves. He fed 5,000 people. He never said we don't have to serve the poor because they're already blessed. Same with the weeping. Remember the story of the little girl, the 12-year-old daughter of Jairus? She died. And when He went to the house, everybody was weeping. He did not say, Jesus did not say, "Blessed are you who are now weeping." No, He said, "Do not weep." And He raised that dead child back to life. So this business about rich and poor and well-fed and hungry and all that is not simply about contradicting what we normally think. What good would that do us? Rather, it's about expanding what we normally think to include the future. That's why it's about hope. Just think of this. If you know something good is coming, you can endure a lot of hardship in the meantime. But if you believe that nothing better will come than what you have right now, then you cannot put up with any hardship at all. I can't take any more. That's what we say. If we know this pandemic will end, and we all live in this hope, well, then we can endure hardships for a while. We've already been doing it for almost 2 years. But if we believe that it will never get any better, well, then all these hardships, all these restrictions, and all these consequences are unbearable to us. So Jesus is saying, don't attach all your hope for happiness and satisfaction on what you have now, because you won't have it tomorrow or some point in the future. If you're rich and well-fed now, that won't make you happy when your money and your food run out. But if you are poor and hungry now, you can hope for a better future, a real hope. Now, sometimes people criticize us believers for having hope in eternal life. They say things like, what good is it to cling to some dreamy, uncertain future floating around in the clouds when people are miserable right now? Don't waste your time thinking about your heaven, your pie in the sky. Spend your time making Earth a better place for everybody. I'm sure you've heard this kind of thinking because it's everywhere. If you go to the internet, it's full of sentiments like this. And this kind of thinking seems to be very popular with young people. They say, well, who needs to bother with religion when there's a lot of work to be done right now? There's a lot of important issues to deal with. Why deal with something so unreal as spiritual life forever in heaven? Now, that's the criticism, and there's at least something correct in this, namely the importance of serving, the importance of making this world better. Yes, that's what we mean by love of neighbor. We're supposed to make this world better, yes. The poor, the hungry, the weeping, the excluded, they have a right to our love and service, yes. But the error in that criticism is that it supposes that there's no connection between our hope for heaven and our service here on earth, as if they have nothing to do with each other. That's the error. In fact, they are very closely connected, as today's gospel proves. Jesus is the one who makes this connection. When we serve the poor and the hungry and the weeping, we are aware of our own poverty and our own hunger and our own weeping. Aware of the problems that we all face, the crosses that we all carry, our own utter need for God. Yes, we're aware of this. We ourselves are hungering for solutions. We're not satisfied with the way things are. That's why we can dedicate ourselves to trying to make things better. We're weeping over the ruin that's caused by sin, the ruin that sin has caused in our own life and in the world. And this hunger and this weeping, this motivates us. It motivates us to persevere in our daily work, in our service of our families, in our public life, in politics, in health care, and care for creation and everything. That's why we have a motivation, because we're not satisfied with the way things are. We're hungering. It's when we're too satisfied, when we're too self-centered and self-satisfied and complacent, that's when problems come in. That's when we're cursed. That's when we're too rich, rich in the sense of having no need to work to make things any better. That's a terrible condition to be in, even now. If we're not hungering for holiness, if we're not hungering for a better world, for happier marriages, for better education for our youth, for a better world, then we're already cursed. It's a terrible condition. Jesus says, woe to you, if you're so rich and satisfied and laughing. So let's recognize what Jesus is teaching us here. He's teaching it in a very contradictory way. He's deliberately provocative here. But his message is not contradictory. His message is pure gold. In fact, he's making us rich with his words. He's telling us, don't settle for the little satisfactions that you can get in this life. Don't settle for earthly laughter alone. That's a curse. That's an escape. Set your hearts on what is greater, on what lasts. Hunger for heaven. Live in hope. Be blessed. You will be satisfied, Jesus says. The kingdom of God is already yours.